Session number 4471, Reel 2.
Mrs. Albu, tape 2. So, what did you think of the atmosphere on the island then? How would you sort of sum that up?
Well, in the women's camp it was pretty good. I felt, particularly when I visited my father in Port St. Mary, and I knew previously he'd been to a rather tough all-men's camp called Onken. From him I picked up the sense of frustration and, you know, some idea of the bad parts as well, that here they were cooped up when they could have been working or could have been helping the Allies in some way. I think I understood more from him of that angle.
Did you visit him on this same occasion while you were staying?
Yes, while Port St. Mary is only a mile or two down the road from Port Erin, and I went to stay with him and his wife. He had remarried shortly before the war started, and I stayed for about a weekend, and we went on the beach sort of looking at animals and things, and this is how I collected that sea slug.
Oh, you're the one your mother told us about.
Yes, I was terribly proud of it.
Mm, yes, where did you actually find that?
On the beach in St. Mary, you know, in Rockpool.
Yes, and I understand you took it to someone at the Marine
Biological
Station.
And they gave it a name and put it on that display things, tank.
Well, that must have been very satisfying.
Yes, it was. I was very, very interested. But my father had a capacity for making anything interesting, so I think, you know, he had something to do with it as well.
And can you remember things like the accommodation in your mother's camp? Did you know, was it adequate, did you think?
I thought so, yes. It was certainly a lot better than perhaps what she'd been living in digs and so on in London. We had an ordinary double room in Baycliffe Hotel with running water. That, you know, there were no problems. I thought it was very good. I seem to remember that there were rotors for washing up and cooking and so on, and I would help with the washing up from time to time. But on the whole, yes, I thought the accommodation was very good. I don't know, perhaps in the winter the heating might not have been adequate. I don't know whether they had fuel shortages. But for the summer, and it was a gorgeous summer, it was fine.
And the food, what was that like?
Well, no worse than school dinners. No, I think it was a lot better than what we got at school, in fact, in the way it was cooked.
Did you have any contact with the islanders, apart from, say, people like landladies?
The only place I can remember was a greengrocer's shop. I was mad about peanuts, and I used to be sent down to get myself a quarter of a pound of peanuts whenever I felt, it was felt that I was at a loose end. Peanuts and rolls, and those were from the island shop.
How difficult did you find sort of picking up the threads of life with your mother after the long years of separation?
Very difficult indeed. It didn't really happen until I left school almost 5 years later, or 6 years later.
So, you know, was it a strain in some way, sort of being in that situation?
Yes, it was. I think this is something which my mother's probably not talked about much, but I didn't really feel that she knew what was going on in my life. I'd seen so little. I mean, I'd only seen the odd holiday, the odd week or two here, a week or two there, ever since she left. So this was just in the pattern, you know, going for 6 weeks. It didn't worry me, and I was quite glad to go home or back to school afterwards.
When you left, was she upset? Did you know, feel?
Well, when I went home.
When you went home after the 6 weeks.
Mm. Well, I think she must have been. I think she must have been. The journey back was quite an adventure, in that my sister was going to meet us at Speke Airport near Liverpool, and at the last minute the police had withdrawn her permit because there was some sort of military action or what have you happening around there, and so they closed the line, as it were, and she was refused a permit to come and pick me up from the airport. And this was about 24 hours before I was due to arrive. I was flown back from Castleton because I was going on my own. They felt that would be better rather than going by boat and train. And I remember I knew nothing about this, and what happened, in fact, was that an acquaintance of a friend had a brother who was lived in Wallasey on the Mersey, and they phoned him, and he agreed to meet me at the airport and hang on to me overnight and put me on a train down to Shropshire the next morning. But I remember, I mean, this was really the most traumatic bit of the whole session, that I had no idea about all this, and there was a strange man to meet me at the airport. He was very kind, but he didn't explain anything. He didn't say why my sister wasn't there, and I thought something dreadful must have happened to my sister. I was quite convinced that something awful had happened to her, and I was too shy to ask this man. And when he was a solicitor or something, when he took me home in the evening, there was his wife and children and so on, and still, you know, they weren't telling why my sister wasn't there, and I was desperately unhappy. I remember crying in the night, wondering what had happened. And a funny little incident, my mother had bought me lots of rolls which she'd filled with nice things to eat on the journey, and I felt I couldn't produce this packet of food when I was in the house, and I knew the rolls were going stale, and I knew my mother had taken such a lot of trouble to get them, you know, to get me the things I wanted for my packed lunch. And it was all sort of bound up with a feeling of disaster and unhappiness. And then they put me on a train, in fact, once I was all right, and my sister met me in Shrewsbury, but she'd had a terrible time also, you know, trying to get through. I think it was that was quite a trauma.
Oh yes, it's a very bad end, I would think, yes, to your stay there.
Oh dear, that was one thing.
When you arrived back at school, did your sister say much about the holiday? You know, did she want to know what you'd been doing?
I don't really remember. I remember her telling me about what a good time she'd had in London with staying with friends herself. And she was very grown up suddenly. And I think I resented her a bit that she was so grown up and somehow treated me like a child, although I wanted to be. You know, I wanted her to be a mother to me, but somehow she couldn't do this without treating me like a child. So I think there was a lot of sort of emotional tangles about this whole situation. And I realised, of course, then, which I hadn't realised before, what an awful time she'd had.
And how about the reaction of your school friends? Were they very interested to know where you'd been? And the sort of situation you were in.
I really don't remember. I think I became conscious at about this time of the place that my father played in our family. And I think I wanted to share that very much with my school friends, and Izot always used to say, don't talk about it. I'm not quite sure why, but there's some feeling that one mustn't discuss family problems with one's friends. And I wanted to discuss them with somebody, and she somehow wasn't available. So one did have a few close friends who one talked to.
Did you read anything about internment in the papers? Were you aware of it as a sort of policy at all? I knew you were very young.
Mm. Not really, no. Not really.
Did you have any anxieties about your mother? Or your father? Did you wonder what would happen to them eventually?
Well, the idea of a release tribunals was, you know, everyone talked about nothing else in the camp, about where they got to in the stage of their appeal. This was the, you know, tremendous topic for thought and conversation. I knew that sooner or later she'd be released and that would be okay. I think I was more conscious of the fact that even when she was released there'd be nowhere to go to. We still wouldn't have a home.
Did you feel very insecure?
I think I did, yes.
When did you hear about your mother's release? Can you remember?
Well, it was sometime in November, something like that. I know it was, in fact, she dropped in on us. She came by train down from Liverpool and she stopped, and I remember her coming into the hall. I was told we were having visitors. She must have rung up before, I suppose, but it was a tremendous thing. Suddenly there she was, and everything was fine. And it was at that stage, really, that I remember talking to her and saying, why did you have to leave us? And her explaining that she had been part of the resistance movement in Germany, my father also, and a lot of her friends, and that for that reason she'd always had to be very cagey, because until, you know, fairly late on in the war, one never knew how it was going to develop, and for that reason they all kept their sort of conspiratorial names going, and they were very careful, I think, this group of people, because they knew that if there was an invasion, they'd be the first people to go to the wall. And I felt very proud that she'd done this, that she'd been part of that group, which I'd never been told about before, of course. It was a great big mystery.
How soon was it before you were all together again, sort of, that your mother set up a home that you could go to?
Shortly after this. There was no problem about getting accommodation in London at that time, because so few people, you know, a lot of people were out and away in the war. And almost immediately she got digs. And I remember we went to stay with her at her digs that the following Christmas. That she came out in, I think, in November, and we spent Christmas together. And my father and his wife were living somewhere in Camden Town, so my father came along, and she had a tiny room, but the landlady also let her have a room in the attic where we were able to sleep. And then by the next summer she'd managed to get a flat, and we then had a home. But in sort of 42, 43, I'm not quite sure when, the firebombing of London took place, and ourselves, together with a number of other children of the school, in fact, didn't go home for holidays. That summer must have been 42, I suppose. So it was a long time before I got into the habit of actually coming home, even for school holidays.
And did you finish your education at the school, at the convent?
Yes.
I see. What did you feel about living on in Britain after the war, settling here?
I'd never considered it as at all possible. I could hardly speak German by then. I can't speak it very well now. I was completely anglicised. England was home. And when I went back, sort of as a young person, hitchhiking and so on, it was a strange country to me.
When you think of the policy of internment now as an adult, and I dare say you have, you know, your mother's been interviewed and I know you've been talking about this. When you think about this, can you think of any justification for it? What was done to your parents? What happened to them?
Not really. I think it was a breach of this sense of reality to intern all these people sort of automatically, almost, on the basis of very little evidence that they were in fact enemies in the strict sense. But, I mean, there undoubtedly were Nazis in the camps who would have perhaps been informers or so on. So, you know, it's understandable in a way that the government had to bow to public pressure to put these people away, and you can't crack a walnut with a sledgehammer without it all flying to pieces. It was an overreaction in a sense, I think, the internment.
What effects do you think it had on your mother's life?
I think she loved it. Well, no, obviously, it must have been very painful to her to have to separate from us and put up with all the inconveniences of being interned. And the worst thing was this business of only being able to write a letter every so often. And, you know, she had, after all, got business affairs and so on to see to, so that she couldn't write to us as often as she would have liked. But the whole setup of the camp, I think, was for her a tremendous sense of achievement for actually getting things done. And I think she was very happy in a way while she was there. She didn't come across as being resentful or angry, or she just got down to the jobs that needed doing. And again, I felt very proud of her. Everyone knew her in the camp. And
Mrs. Albu, thank you very much indeed.
End of 4471, Reel 2.